Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I swear Miss Priestley has coined the phrase mind your business, and we know that love requires courage. Does Miss Walker have enough? And looks like the Reverend is revving up for another round with Miss Walker. We're talking about it all right now on the Gentleman Jack After Show right here on AfterBuzz.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
If we do it together, it works, right?
What's happening, y'all? I can't do my shoulder
because Raven was beating me up this whole episode. Every time somebody lost their mind, I got to walk out. So good to see you guys. Welcome back once again. This is Gentleman Jack, Season 1, Episode 5. This one is called Let's Take Another Look at Your Past Perfect, because it's not quite perfect, y'all. We got so much to talk about. Of course, we got love and happiness. We've got business, and we've got these hands. You guys are going to find out all about that. We're also going to have our special episodes, our special segments with Hella Facts and Hella Clad, right? We got it. First, once again, you guys, I am Jackie Ray. Let me introduce my favorite panelists. We're missing Shauna O today. She's on mom duty, but we still love her. Shout out to her. We've got Raven French.
Hello, hello, hello.
And J-Dub, also known as Joshua, also known as Cleverly Clad.
<What's happening? laughs>
He's got so many names. All right, you guys, how'd you guys feel about this episode? Overall thoughts off top with you. Look at the faces.
You want to go first or you want me to go?
Look.
All right.
This show, telenovela, all of that, all the daytime soap operas, all of the emotion, just so raw, just so good. And then the ending.
See, I told y'all I was getting beat up. You can see it now, right? Yeah. A lot of that frustration.
It was good, y'all.
Josh, it was good. It was good to see. Actually, I like to see Miss Walker, how deep she got in, how she really tapped into those emotions towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a good way, I was disappointed, not like with the show at all. I thought the show itself was phenomenal, but Miss Walker, if you don't get your entire life together.
I'm telling you.
It's all in her mind.
All of it.
The whole thing is in her mind. So we start off, of course, with they're together, and the thing that I thought was interesting about this is off top, we're just going to start with Mr. Ainsworth. Mr. Ainsworth is wreaking havoc. And he hasn't even set foot into the room.
He's a piece of work.
He is a piece of work. Now, what did you think about her saying when Ann Lister just doesn't want to hear anything about Mr. Ainsworth? What did you think about that?
I thought that it was her way of claiming what was hers. She's been there this whole time, these past few months. It's unnamed amount of months she's been there. And she's really built a relationship with Miss Walker. So now that Ainsworth is trying to come in and horn in, she's like, hold up, he doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She has that I don't even know if it's balance, because when I'm watching like if this was one of my girlfriends, what would I tell them? She finesses something that is sexy, but then something that is like, is this control? Should I like it.
Yeah.
But I don't
feel like I shouldn't.
Right. Right.
She teeters on both of those. Yeah.
There's with her, I feel like I go back and forth. Teeter's a good word. I feel like, oh, Ann Lister's so in love. And then, oh, she just knows that not a lot of women going to be down for this. So she's just going to, you know, sink her claws into Miss Walker as much as she can. But Miss Walker did, was it 2 episodes ago? She did say that she's been repulsed by men.
Right.
So maybe she's not sinking her claws. But, I mean, this all over the place. I feel like Ann deserves a medal because.
Ann Lister.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because of her tolerance
yes.
and patience. Yeah, Miss Walker just. I can't get into what I want to say yet. But
Baby steps.
Excuse me. But Miss Walker seems to be influenced by everyone around her, not realizing that she's of the upper echelon. She's of the upper class. I understand that you have this facade that you're supposed to put on. But you know what? She has that as in the movie The Gamble. John Goodman's character said she has that F you money.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Don't we see that in real life, though? And that I think that's why this is so good, because it's not the same type of romanticizing that we make up when we write shows.
Right.
Versus this, she, this part of her writing, this is real.
Yeah.
And I feel like in real life, I probably see more very strong people with not so strong people than when you look at people and you're like, why don't they match in their strength?
There has to be a balance. Mm-hmm. You know, think about somebody.
You can't be strong and strong.
No, you can. There are couples like that. Mm-hmm. But there are couples where they... Ann Lister seems to have attracted the type of person who needs to be lifted up. Miss Hobart was weak. Mm-hmm. Now Miss Walker showed strength, but then she also showed weak, and she showed that she was impressionable when she met her. She said, well, I've been in love with you since I was, what, 14 or 18? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So it seems like Lister attracts those types of people.
I see. I wonder if she attracts them or if she just intentionally finds them, you know, especially in her situation in this time. Mm-hmm. You know, how else are you going to convince? Because this whole entire series so far, what people think matters, because what they think might get you hung.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's like, how else are you going to convince somebody to go against the grain unless they absolutely need you? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I thought that kind of played into it. Interestingly, I love how they're playing this. And then, Miss Priestley, though, we gonna need several moments, several seats for you.
A whole bunch of them. A stadium full of them. Pick one, okay?
Because she's sitting there, and her intentions, she's one of those people, because we all know people like this, where their intentions seem like she means well, but it's all shade.
Yes.
It's all shade.
Does it seem like she means well?
I think in proper society, it would.
Okay, because she's sending out warnings. Mm-hmm. And so it's like my mom had a saying. She would say, you know, she has a mouth large enough for two sets of teeth.
Oh, Lord. That is a Southern saying
though. But it's the truth, though. Like, Miss Priestley just, and then she just welcomes herself into people's business. Mm-hmm. No one says anything to her. She just decides, well, Jackie, you know, I see you drinking out your AfterBuzz cup. You know, well, you know, she drinks after AfterBuzz cup. So?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, because even Mr. Ainsworth, when they're sitting there at the table, and Miss Priestley's like, you need to go ahead and go on over there.
Yeah.
And now, you done already walked in on the walk, on the ands.
Yes.
And now you're trying to get him to do the same. And he's kind of like, no. Because I already realized I'm out of pocket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I missed the mark.
I just, my wife died, and I was like, checking the pulse and writing the letter at the same time. Trifling.
Yes.
You good?
I know.
She ain't even cold yet.
Look, Jackie, I got to say now, I knew some of them in the church.
Oh.
Like, they, you know, their spouse got a little sick.
Oh.
And it was like, you know, Sister Jackie, you know, my wife can't cook. So if the Lord will bless you,
don't. Oh, yes. Okay.
And you look at you like, you lying wonder.
Look, if the preacher kids say it, you know it's true.
I'm just saying.
Because that was, you know, it literally took me, I just took him as a shady individual with money. It literally took me to the end. And I mean, they saying clergy and meeting with the church the whole time. But I think in my head, because of the image and how image means everything, I think I just blocked that whole thing out.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a minister.
I was going to say, you forgot all about it.
I forgot. And then at the end, he was like, I don't think I'll take the job with the church. And I'm like, oh, you bastard.
Yeah, but Lister said, she said, if he's witty enough, she made a comment like, if he's witty enough or lacks wit, he'll take that job. Mm-hmm. But he knew better.
So we have Adrian Castro. She said, man, I used to like Miss Priestley. The way she talked about Ann Lister, she seemed like such an ally, but damn, she fake as you know what.
I'm telling you.
Facts, man. I just, and that's the other thing, but we're going to get to that part in a minute. But so the other thing about the opening scene that I thought was funny, because it just kind of came out of left field, is the when Ann Lister sat down in a very manly way, and then she was like, can I borrow some money?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what?
Yes. I thought it was dope. They were there together, having their morning banter,
right?
I guess you could say.
Right.
And then, out of nowhere, she just like, so you got them duckies, bro?
Yeah, let me hold that. You got me hold that.
But it didn't come off as a as manipulative. Mm-hmm. It was that moment where it's a moment of levity in their relationship. Like, we cool now. I can ask you for $1,000.
Right. I mean, okay. Fun fact, I don't know how many of y'all that cool with me walking to me, ask me for $1,000.
I mean,
Raven could.
Look, I'm like, Jack.
Yeah, but
I give you $500.
You are so stupid.
All right, so real quick, how did you think when Miss Walker Raven, how'd you feel when she told Anne, she's like, I feel like I can take on the world with you, but when you're away, I don't know. Like, how did that make you, especially, I'm asking you because we know we're gonna get this woman's perspective real quick.
Yeah, I love that.
I feel like and I felt bad for Miss Lister in this episode as it progressed. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's kind of what happens. You, when you're saying to someone, you lack courage, that's real all around in her entire personality. We compartmentalize things in life and think it's that one moment. Mm. But that's her whole personality. Mm. So it's like she is... I hate to keep calling the lady weak.
If the dog is black, if it barks, it's a dog. Okay? Cats don't quack. Okay?
I want to come up with a different word for her because she...
Inferior?
She's a...
Invalid?
Help us, chat. Help us. But she lacks courage.
She does lack courage. About everything. I feel like she'd be scared of her own shadow. You know, in High Noon,
I feel like
she'd be afraid. She's just afraid of everything.
Yeah,
and that's what perplexes me about Anne Lister. Like, she's so strong, and I get what you're saying about opposites attract, but polar opposites.
Yeah, they are polarizing. That's
I think
true.
The softness of her, now it's switching up, but the way she sees the world because of how she thinks also makes her kind of vulnerable and open. It allows for those qualities when you're that type of personality, but.
Well, let me ask this then. Okay, so we know that Miss Walker pretty much grew up with what we consider today a silver spoon in her mouth.
Right.
She's a rich lady. Do you think that she was limited on her ability to critically think and enjoy the world because she was rich? Because that could be a reason why she's so naive and weak, because she's never had
sheltered, basically.
Yeah, sheltered. Thank you. That's the word. Thank you.
I mean, sounds right, but Anne grew up with money.
Yeah, but Anne also left...
Right.
Like, Anne grew up with money.
And are we talking the same kind of money? It doesn't seem
the same. Yeah, yeah, Miss Walker definitely got more, because otherwise Miss Lister wouldn't have to ask for none.
Right.
That's true. And Anne's money seems more like it was worked for.
Right,
whereas
yes.
Walker is kind of like, they've had money for decades, centuries.
Old money, new money.
Yeah, right. So it's a little different.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
So, as the preacher's kid,
uh-oh.
And you saw that Bible... did you peep the note he left in the Bible?
Yeah, that horrid note. Blasphemy! Come on!
I couldn't wait to ask you that. How do you feel about
saying,
what did it say? It said, I can't wait to rest on you?
Yeah, I rest upon you, which in those terms means that I rely on you.
I went in a whole nother place. I thought that meant rest upon.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, but in that sense, rely upon means to rely on love, rely on affection, romanticism.
Oh, that makes that way more innocent than I had it in my head. I had that way dirtier in my head.
No, but it is dirty, is what I'm saying. Like,
she meant physically.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said affectionate. You know, I'm on TV.
Oh, right. Okay,
all right, come on. Come on, saints, okay?
Gotcha.
No, man preaching.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's sacrilegious to do something like that.
Right.
And then Anne Lister made the point to let him know, hey, man, you're going to be accused of adultery and fornication, so it might be in your best interest to leave. Well, I'll expose you, too. And she was like, that's cool, bro. I can handle it.
Right.
I'm Anne Lister, but you're Thomas Hainsworth.
I get it.
She's cold-blooded.
Yes. I just want to real quickly say to you guys out there in the chat, hey, welcome, how you doing? Make sure you chat at us if we say something that you are historically privy to, because we know some of you historians are out there. Go ahead and drop a comment now in the chat and we're gonna get to that. Raven, you got anything you want to say to the people?
Yes, thank you for joining us in the chat. Thank you for joining us on iTunes. Thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We are loving being here. We are loving this show. So do us a favor. Subscribe if you're on YouTube right now. Go ahead and subscribe. If you're listening on iTunes, go ahead and give us the 5 stars. Please leave us comments in the chat right now so that we can chat back with you. And if you leave comments after, we'll definitely respond. We love the show. We love being here. It's so much to talk about. So keep listening. Tell your friends. And stay with us.
Yes.
All right. You see what Adrian said.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody got to read this comment.
I'm going to, now, Adrian, I'm going to read this, but I'm going to read it the PG-13 way.
I thought that was PG-13.
Is that PG-13?
Yeah, I can't trust Jackie.
Okay. Factual. Well, Adrian, or Adrienne, however it's pronounced, says, LMAO, I thought he meant, like, rest on her bosom after Rumble in the hacky sack. Okay.
Hacky sack.
Wow. Okay. Yes, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought.
That's rest upon. But so let's talk real quick. So Anne Walker sends the package back. She wants the package to be sent back. And she writes this letter to Mr. Ainsworth that basically says, don't start none, won't be none. If you need to talk to me, talk to Miss Liz, talk to my girl.
Right.
Got somebody. Right. Now to me, that, because that's something I would say in the club. Somebody was like, hey, yo, girl, let me get your number. Hey, you see my man sitting right here? Right. Talking, you know, don't disrespect me like that. So if you're trying to be all indiscreet, why would you say, talk to my girl?
Well, she was telling her what to say.
Right. Lister wrote that letter.
Yes, she did. She did. Okay.
Do you think Walker has...
I'm trying to give my girl a backbone. Her spine is weak. This whole time, I just got that.
But Jackie, you didn't see it.
I did see Aunt, but I felt like Miss Walker was excited to be like, yeah, baby, what else should I say?
You know, in the moment, because of the energy of Lister.
But so she's easily manipulated.
I won't say easily manipulated, because it... Okay, so this is, to me, manipulation means that she believes what the person is doing. She does not believe in Thomas Ainsworth. She's just willing to do it to keep the attention off of her in a negative way. Mm. So it would be a very hostile marriage. You know, like, they'd be married, but she'd be like, look, I'm sleeping with Ann tonight, so
well,
you on the couch.
See, I just don't know if she would get that kind of backbone, but... So Miss Walker, I'm sorry, Miss Lister comes in. She meets Mr. Ainsworth. Mm-hmm. How did you think about the? Ooh, okay.
I want Raven to go first.
How did you feel about their exchange?
Again, because you just actually gave the perfect example. Like, you don't see my man right here?
Right.
That's the perfect. I mean, she just. I don't know if I should like this, but I like it. She's territorial in the way, this is mine. I see you, bruh. I see you.
Right.
I ain't going to tell you that. I don't even have to say too much, but know that I'm here and that I see you. And the acting of it on his part.
Flawless. Spot on.
His confusion of like, I don't know if I should be afraid, offended. I don't know what's happening right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then we transition from how the interaction in the dining area or whatever to the interaction. Things is always different on the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, first let me ask y'all this. Do y'all think Lister knew that Ainsworth was there?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yes. So she purposely went over to address him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I just want to
just because of the way, like when she's talking about getting Henry into the school.
Right.
You know, she made this one comment where she's like, there's a man with, you know, lots of money who won't own up to what he's done. I thought that was a specific jab towards him for you asserting yourself onto Miss Walker.
Yeah.
So she's very calculated in what she says. She's very calculated in
she's
the fact
clever.
That she's there. Yeah, she's cleverly. Mm-hmm. Not quite clad, but she's clever.
Oh, no, she's clever. She owned it.
So how'd you feel about their street meetup?
Oh, I thought it was the real deal. You know, stuff, when it gets real, you know, it starts in the club. Starts in the gym. For me, my last fight was in college in the gym.
Okay.
And it started, little buddy was, you know, yapping. And he had enough, I told him where I lived, he had enough nerve to show up. And I choked him out right there in the foyer, right there in my house. So I said, so, you know, it spewed from the house to the street. And every time it gets to the street, that's when it gets real.
Right. Now I thought it was interesting that she just kind of walked up to him and said, hey, I know what you did last summer, kind of thing, you know, so... Did you, I mean, she just refuses to stick into any kind of gender role at all.
She's desperate in that moment because of what she's been through with the other, what was the
Hobart.
Lady?
Hobart, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is the fear of that situation again. Like, we are having a good time. We are, get out of here, sir.
So it's over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like the ex-boyfriend that comes back once things become good with you and the new guy.
Always.
And then the ex boyfriend. All of a sudden, you get that 2 a.m. text. What's
right.
up?
And all of
hey,
a sudden.
Hey, big head.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Or whatever your nickname is. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at it, you're like, man, I don't want to text him, but woo, I should.
Oh, no, that means you ain't getting it right where you are now. But anyway. No.
Let's be clear.
Let's be clear, yes. But it made me lose my whole train of thought.
My bad. I always got the text back. You know what I mean?
No. So. Jackie. He kind of tells her, so, okay, this was a trigger moment for me. And I think the reason why it's a trigger moment is because if you're on Instagram or Facebook, all up and down your social media timeline, you are seeing men that are making excuses why women who are raped should keep the children, right? And they're saying right. that women who are raped, they could have stopped it if they wanted to. So those moments on social media trigger me. And then he says, Mr. Ainsworth says, she wanted it more than I did.
Please.
That, so we've been dealing with this Me Too since the 1800s.
Oh, for sure.
But he's a predator.
For
he's
sure.
He's a predator.
Yeah.
The fact that, go ahead, Raven.
Yeah, just to let you know how slimy and gross
yes.
he is.
He's terrible. He does not represent anything of a gentleman whatsoever.
Right.
He's predatory. Who knows how old was Miss Walker? Do we know how old she was during this encounter?
Well, Miss Walker's 29 right now.
Right.
So a couple years ago, she's so what? She's anywhere like 25. Between 25 to 27, maybe?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. he just advanced himself on her, and she probably was frightened by him because of his position.
Right, and you yeah. see what her personality is yeah. like even now, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, that moment really triggered me. But so, Miss Walker tells him, you know, that she would out him for adultery and fornication, which I think I found that interesting because all of L.A. would be out right now. Like, if you try to out somebody, I was like,
everybody getting hanged.
Everybody. We ain't no survivors in L.A. So I was like, that was kind of interesting. But
that
Jackie,
is.
You are crazy.
I'm just saying. But I also found it interesting if we can just take a second to talk about Miss Park Hill. Miss Park Hill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she's trying to push Mr. Ainsworth onto Miss Walker, because she says, well, because Miss Walker's like, I don't love him, though. And she's like, yeah, so what? And I'm like, what a tragic time. Like, I can't imagine living in a time as a woman. Well, I couldn't imagine living in that time because, you know, we black. And all that would have been really, really bad for us. But aside from that, just to know that I have to get married.
Well, you would be Miss Lister. I mean, not necessarily.
Probably. I mean,
because that was normal. That Walker just happened to feel love now. But without that feeling, that would have been very normal. You marry for money. You don't marry for love. Then you marry for status. You marry for will I be taken care of? And yes, that went on for years. And, you know, after the 1900s, you would be more of a Miss Lister who understands passion and understands real love. And
right.
it's not, I wouldn't sell it. I wouldn't sell myself for some money.
Yeah, not to rob yourself of real love.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Miss Priestley once again gets in Miss Park Hill's ear. Who once again gets in Miss Walker's ear.
She is, Miss Priestley's everywhere.
She is. She is like ETV, you know,
yes.
she's like her TMZ or something. She just got all the gossip. But the other part of this that kind of bothered me about it was how, because Miss Park Hill is like in awe of Miss Lister.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, you know, Miss Walker, you don't even need me here. You're so lucky to have Miss Lister around. And then here comes Miss Priestley. And now she cannot stand Miss Lister.
Mm-mm.
How did you feel about that?
I thought that it was inappropriate. The first thing you never do is, this is how I was raised, you never force your opinion of someone on another person.
Mm.
You allow them to have the opportunity to think for themselves. Because the relationship that Miss Lister and Miss Walker had nothing to do with Miss Park Hill, nor did Miss Park Hill see anything that would have been considered questionable between the two of them.
Right.
So Miss Priestley comes in because Park Hill's impressionable. And now she's just the antithesis of who she was now. She's, oh, well, you can leave. Three's coming. Three's a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Just over nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Over nothing.
Yeah, Miss Walker don't. See, she needs some other friends. That I would have acted straight through that. I don't know. What did she say? What?
Yeah.
But she did. There was that moment where Miss Parkhill was very naive. Like, she's like, two men got hunt for what? What happened? You know, she was very naive for a second. And Miss Priestley would not let it go.
But isn't that when you stop, when you realize that you're dealing with someone who is innocent and you're trying to get a point across, wouldn't you be like, you know what, she not ready?
I mean, I think we would.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And, but she's supposed to be wiser than us.
Well, yeah. But, you know, she's not. Uh-huh. But I also felt that Miss Park Hill actually cared genuinely about Miss Walker. Because when she was talking to her, she was like, I feel like you're dooming yourself in this life mm-hmm. and the next. You know right. what I mean? So, and she was in genuine distress.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she was.
So...
do we know how old Miss Park Hill is?
She look young.
Yeah, like 19, 20?
It seemed as though, and I don't know if this is an intentional thing, but everybody who got them side curls that go down mm-hmm. this way ain't quite right in the head. The ones that got the other ones that loop up, yeah, a little bit better off.
A little more adult.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on purpose. I would be... I would like to find that out. But, you know, Miss Lister is smart. She says, look, if you react to the rumors, then you're going to... validify the rumors.
Yeah.
And I think I just question, like, as much as Miss Walker looks up to Miss Lister, how come that didn't register?
Because Miss Walker is still scary, and to a point, she's still selfish.
Miss Walker is?
Yeah.
How so?
Because, okay, so can we skip to the argument?
Girl, I mean, yes, boy.
Okay, all right. No, you good. I get it. I'm the only dude up here. I get it. Y'all straight.
I had a moment. My
and
bad.
That's one of those moments on the show.
No, you good. It's not a big deal. But, okay, so I want to talk about the argument between Walker and Lister. So when they got into the argument, it shows that Miss Walker still has selfishness in her heart, because the minute everything started to come towards her in a negative way, she starts casting the blame on Miss Lister. So that tells me that you really still love yourself more. And you can't successfully be in a relationship if you don't love the other person more. That's just how I think.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, you know, she starts saying, well, I'll give you money anyway. And so I'm like, well, Miss Lister's like, bro, you don't know me.
Right, at all.
Like, you can't know me if you think that all I want is your money, especially if you're married to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows me that Walker still has selfishness in her heart.
And even if she felt, I can see, you know, maybe not me personally, mm-hmm. but her in her situation, and you've got this money and you're trying to keep up these airs or whatever, I can see saying, look, I just don't think I'm cut out for this. But I can't see saying... oh, you and the way you live is repulsive. It's repugnant or something like
right.
that. Yes. I was like, did she say repugnant?
Yeah.
Against God, repugnant. Girl, you done already did everything.
Entertain of the repugnant.
Right.
So what are we talking about?
Of yeah. the repugnant.
Yeah, I thought that was a little off. But let's take a detour to where the only thing that's found forensically is your belt buckle.
Mm.
Let's take that moment really
Holla
quick.
Thomas really
Because now, and I was wondering what they were going to find. Now, I would like to, if you guys in the chat know, because I definitely want to know, because they keep saying pigs will eat everything
yes.
but metal. Now, he was fully clothed.
Yeah.
Now, he was chopped up, though, so it was bite size. But did they eat, the clothes, too, though?
I don't know. Jackie.
It's an argument for people who don't eat pork, we see.
I eat pork, and I really hope I haven't
you
eaten pork.
You probably done ate some of Sam.
I probably have.
You done ate a finger or two, because you missed somebody chopped.
I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know much about pigs that way. I know that they're sloppy, and they are very nasty animals. But
and you eat them.
Yeah, I love them. They taste delicious.
Sidebar,
yeah,
anyway.
Delicious.
Mama finds the belt buckle.
Yeah.
And what did you think when she found the belt? What did you think she was going to do?
What she did. I didn't think she was going to do anything less than what she did.
Didn't think she was going to tell it all?
I'm saying I thought she was going to confront her son about it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think she was going to say anything, because mm-hmm. if Thomas leaves, she doesn't have anybody in the home who can work, put food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So by default, mm-hmm. she's kind of forced to silence.
Yeah. And it's that kind of culture. You protect your own unless you Miss Priestley.
Who just wants to tell
yourself.
On everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a response in the chat. Rainbow Wrench, glad to see you tonight, says, it's true. They can literally eat anything. I grew up on a farm. They can eat metal, but their stomach won't break it down, so it comes back up.
They can eat metal. Stop eating pork, y'all. Please. Please stop eating pork.
Mm.
Okay, so now let's real quick give the sister her moment in the sunlight, and she has a... Mr. Abbott come over. Let's talk about him. What y'all think about Mr. Abbott? Is he a good fit For Anne's sister.
Raven,
they're the type that when you physically see them together, they look perfect. Mm. Like, they look like they match. Like, right. Almost related, but together.
Right.
He's repulsive, though. I don't like him at all.
Wait, we're talking about Mr. Abbott.
Yes. The sister's
Oh, yeah, the one boyfriend. When he was eating all yes. the... Yeah.
Just no and just would not stop talking.
Yes.
And what did he call? He said, because, you know, you're elderly. And I was like, oh, God.
That is so...
like, embarrassing. Like, oh, just, oh.
But she didn't know that he acted like this.
See, so that's why I want to know how dating goes back then, because I also did find it interesting that Mr. Ainsworth sent his biography to, you know, and that was a sign to Miss Parkhill that he was going to propose. And I'm like, so y'all been, that was like the Plenty of Fish of the 1800s.
Right.
Let me tell you, that's a good idea.
What?
Because we getting with these guys, and I don't mean me, I'm good, but and females too. He's mm-hmm. he's good too. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying, don't know anything about them really. We just get caught up in the dating of it. Then you read their biography, you see what they really got going on. So let's see this credit score.
Oh, look at it.
You can see everything. Those are things that come up later. Then you divorce.
I don't know. I have had several men that are good on paper. And that's where it is.
Are they really? What are they writing, though?
So they're just a good resume.
It's a good resume, but, you know, most people lie on their resume.
Right. That's why I'm like, are they really? What are they writing? Yeah. We're talking about honest biographies here. Now, I mean, I'm sure he didn't write that he's a rapist.
Does he think he's a rapist?
I would hope not. Obviously not. I think that, you know, because, again, one of those triggers for mm-hmm. me was seeing all these things in our present day where men are saying X, Y, and Z. So, I mean, I'm sure it was exponentially worse, but I don't want to say that. I think it's probably covered up more now than it was back then. But oh, yeah. when you can just be flippant with it back then, yeah, you know, I think it was definitely different. But so now let's get to the business, because, you know, the business always gotta come out. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeremiah... Let me just let you get to Jeremiah. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
These Ralstons are something. They're just... I just can't get over how weak they are with all the position that they have. I feel like I would have taken that position and I would have used it in a positive light to have the people love and adore me. That way I could help them in times of need. And then with that mindset, I would not have been irresponsible enough to kill... Or to have cause a kid to break his leg mm-hmm. and have it amputated.
But see, that's the one part that threw me off. Wasn't even one of those like moments in the script or anything that was said. It's like, you know that you've caused this kid to lose his leg, yeah. and then you flip the coin at kids that are begging you for money.
Right?
Like, he does not care
mm-hmm. at all.
So with that, I'm gonna flip to the last little scene there, and you know, Anne walking home mad. And I love her walk. Just thank you guys so much. Just if I can just get one montage next week with her walking. I love her walk. But she's walking home mad and she's ambushed mm-hmm. by some dude. Now I think we all can agree that he's just some thug that was paid to come beat her up, right?
Of course.
So Chad, I want you to chime in on this as well. Who is the culprit? Who sent the thug?
Because now they're enemies.
There's a lot of people who don't like Miss Lester. So who sent the thug? Raven, who do you think it is?
I don't know.
You don't know? All right.
You got to give us an answer, Max Kellerman. I mean, Raven Frey. You got to give us an answer.
Okay, you go while I think.
I think that the thug was sent by Priestley.
You okay.
That's what I thought initially. Yeah, and then your thing made me like, oh.
I think
Priestley.
I think the thug was sent by the Rossins.
Okay.
Because what's his name? Jeremiah tells his brother, he's like, oh, you know, she's gonna sink the pit. And then Chris is like, she can't sink the pit. That's a lot of money. She goes, she's been staying every night and day with Miss Walker. She got money. She got hands to her purse, you know?
That's true.
So I think it's him because he's trying to make sure that she can't get that money to sink her pit.
And they are hood. I mean, we
very hood.
Yeah, they're just
very hood.
Yeah, they just have an education, mm-hmm. like whatever.
And he did say she wants to. I forgot his verbiage, but you know, roll with the big dogs or something. Mm-hmm. Something dog analogy there.
Now so, we do have a comment about the money. Mm-hmm. Rituparna Ghosh, I hope I got that right, says the Listers were the old money and they had a distinguished family, while the Walkers were new money. Mm-hmm. So that probably is why Anne is so protective over it.
Yeah. So we seem to have a consensus. Rainbow Wrench says it was the Rawsons, and so does Adrian says it was the Rawsons.
Yeah, Rainbow says that too because they're cousins. I forgot about that.
Oh, I forgot they were cousins. Good call. Yeah, we keep forgetting that. Thank you,
Rainbow. We love it.
All right, so before we get out of here, we're going to thank you guys so much in the chat. You guys was with us today.
Yes, we love it.
Fifth panelist in the building. I want to get to our special segments, and we are going to start with some hella facts. But I think we just got one fact.
This is a good fact. Okay, so on BBC.com, guys, since this is from Ann Lister's diary, I just want to read something that I found about her. So since childhood, she had been very different. Born in 1791, Ann was an unmanageable tomboy who, exasperated mother, sent her off to boarding school at age 7. Mm. Teachers feared she would influence the other girls with her rebellious behavior, and in her teens, she was confined to an attic bedroom where she lived in virtual seclusion. Mm. Her diary became her closest confidant. So that is how all of what we know about her actually came about.
Man, they was rough on kids back then. That's ridiculous. Oh, God. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So now, if y'all saw the segment last week, this fashion thing was just one of my favorite things. So, it's that time for... Hella clad.
Salutations, good family. Well, we're going to talk about Miss Ann Lister, Ann Walker, and Marion Lister tonight. So you all see the three of them on the screen. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with Miss Walker, who is standing next to Miss Lister. If you notice, Miss Walker is wearing it's called a leg of mutton sleeve. Okay. It is a puffy sleeve that is puffy from the shoulder down into the elbow. And the reason they have these sleeves is to accentuate their beauty. So if you see the neckline on her dress, nowadays we call it a boat neck. Mm-hmm. Back then, I'm not really quite sure what it was called, but it's a sloping neckline. And what it does is it accentuates her beauty. And so women who were considered very attractive or very assertive in a sexual sense wore these types of dresses. It was a modest way to attract a man.
Okay.
Now, we do look at Marion Lister. We also see that she's wearing the puffer sleeve, but because she's not considered the most attractive, hers is covered by a lace top.
Oh, okay, I see. Mm-hmm.
So that can tell you the difference in partly why Miss Lister was open to approaching Miss Walker, because she has the sloping neckline, mm-hmm. and it's almost like an invitation, like "Hello." Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about Miss Lister. This is your girl here, Jackie.
That's my girl,
I got you,
man.
All right, so Miss Lister, we're going to focus on her headgear. She is wearing a top hat. So the top hat represents authority and power, and it is said to contain thought. Meaning, if she were to change her hat, that means that it would change the opinions of her opinions and opinions of other people. Mm. So she wears a demonstrative hat to accentuate her power and that she's firm in her beliefs. It's very important to mention that. I did also want to mention Miss Walker's hat is a bonnet. Mm-hmm. So if you see the women wear the bonnets on the outside and the inside. On the inside, they wear the bonnets because it keeps their hair tidy. Mm. On the outside, they wore it as a fashionable piece to keep dust out of their hair. And it just ties under the neck and adds a little bit more a style to it.
Nice.
And that's it for Hella Clad.
Yes, I'm so in love with this fashion segment. Yes, I'm going to have to go get me an off-the-shoulder piece. Just
drop it on them.
Bam. Let's get it. All right, so let's get into these AfterBuzz predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Josh, let's start with you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first off, I think next week we will find out who the thug belongs to. And I think you all have cogent points. It is probably the Rawsons. And I do think that Marion is going to start figuring out what's going on with Miss Lister. At the end there, she said that's not the type of punishment you get from whatever, you know, she said.
Falling off the wall, she said.
Right, falling off the wall. So I think that Marion is going to start her little investigation, and that's going to bleed into a few things with Miss Lister.
Mm-hmm. Woo, okay, this is a tough one. I will go up to the relationship. I think there's obviously going to be a bit of a separation, but Walker is so flip-floppy that she's going to flop right on back because her strength is with Miss Lister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think at some point, however that happens, that relationship is going to mend itself in some kind of way.
Yeah. So for those of you guys that have actually read the diaries, forgive me if I'm completely wrong, but I think that, you know, Miss Lister's going to take like a huge break, almost to the point where I think it's the fact that Miss Walker's probably going to be going slightly crazy that's going to bring Miss Lister back, because I just feel like she's had it.
She's going to need her.
She should. Yeah. So, but I think what started out as just kind of a plaything has turned to love for her. Mm-hmm. So she is going to have to go back and, rescue her girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Jaka talk.
All right. All right, you guys. Once again, thanks for hanging out with us tonight on the after show for Gentleman Jack Season 1. Raven, tell everybody where they can find you.
Everybody, you can find me on all social media at Raven with an I, Raven French.
And you can find me at all social media at Cleverly Clad. I am Joshua Wright.
Yes, yes. And once again, I'm Jackie Ray. You can find me on all things social media at JRay the Fanatic or online at JRayTheFanatic.com. I almost forgot the name.
That's all right.
Make sure you're back here next Monday, because we got another episode of Gentleman Jack. Once again, thank you guys from AfterBuzz, and we will buzz you later.
Holla.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.